Hello there. Welcome once again to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm so glad you managed to stop by today. You and I are going to be hanging out for the next 30 minutes as this week we look at the Mass readings for the fifth Sunday of Lent. This is a big Sunday. It's a big message. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, of course, followed a week after that by Easter Sunday. So Easter Sunday is 2 weeks away from this day. Man, that's exciting. Keep focused. You know, as we go through Lent, it's not over yet. And maybe even if you've had a difficult Lent, don't lose hope. There is still plenty of time. Today's message, redemption is near. We're going to talk about that as we look at the Mass readings from this Sunday's Mass. And it's all about what's about to happen. We are about to be redeemed on the cross. Now, of course, that happened 2,000 years ago by Jesus suffering and dying on the cross. But we're going to relive it today as we start to look forward. Essentially, that's what we want to do every Lent. We want to keep that focus on what Jesus did for us. We're going to do that today. And we're going to hopefully get to a point where we better appreciate the great value, the great gift of our redemption. So settle in with me, grab a snack, whatever you need to do, make yourself comfortable. We're going to, in a few minutes, we're going to get ready to pray, and then we'll get right into the program. But again, I just want to thank you for tuning in. It's always a pleasure when we get to spend some time together. It means a lot to me. I hope it means just as much to you. So without further ado, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we come before you today recognizing the fact that you're with us, recognizing the fact that you are all-powerful, recognizing the fact that you know all things, can do all things, and that you love us with an infinite love. Father, we're grateful for the fact that you adopted us as your children. We're grateful that you sent Jesus into the world. And Father, today, as we prepare to reflect on the great gift, the ultimate fruit of your Son coming into the world to redeem us on the cross, we're filled with gratitude. But we ask you to increase our appreciation today. Because I think sometimes we can only get so far with this and we don't fully understand just what Jesus did. And of course, we're never going to fully understand it, Father. I realize that. But I'm going to pray today that through the grace you give us, that we'll understand it a little bit more, and that we'll be better able to appreciate what Jesus did for us. Father, I ask you to give me the words today on the program. I ask you to give me the message. I want to deliver your message today. I realize that's what you want as well. So please use me as your instrument, and please open our hearts and our minds to not only hear and receive the message and understand it, but to do whatever it takes to put it into practice, to live this message you give to us today in our daily lives. Father God, we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you again for tuning in to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and as I said at the beginning, we're just going to hang out for the next 30 minutes and look at the Mass readings for the fifth Sunday of Lent. We're getting through it. We're getting through it. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, but we're going to pause today and take a look at what is about to happen, what we're going to commemorate in just a few short weeks. The death of Jesus on the cross, and then obviously the ultimate resurrection from the dead. Big stuff coming up. I want to thank you. I've been, as you listen to this, I'm sort of winding up my Give Up Worry for Lent speaking tour. At the time I'm recording this, it's still going well. I'm still making my way across the country, survived a bit of a stomach bug along the way, but you know, but God has been good. He's been getting me through this, and I thank you for your prayers. Just understand that I'm continuing to pray for you as well. I don't remember if I mentioned this on the program, but I want to mention this now while I have a minute. Very soon, I'll be making available the information about how to pre-order my upcoming Advent book. It's called Find Peace in Advent. It's a daily reflection, a daily devotional filled with reflections for each day of Advent. I'm excited about this. It's a sort of a give up worry for Lent geared toward Advent, which is something I've wanted to do for a long time. Stay tuned for more information on that. I also want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. And if you go to followingthetruth.com and sign up for my daily email reflection, you're going to be the first to know when the book, the Advent book, is available. Also want to keep you in mind that I'm starting to book Advent parish missions. Haven't done too many of those recently, but with the new book coming out, I think it's time to start doing them again. So even if you want to bring me in to your parish this Advent, 2024, I do have openings for Give or Find Peace in Advent parish missions. So the best place to go is followingthetruth.com for all of that information. Again, sign up for the daily email reflection, and which is free of charge, and then you will be able to not only get the daily email reflection, which is, you know, something that I write by myself. I don't have people do them for me. I write them myself, and I really do believe that it is something that will help you. I get a lot of good responses. The amount of subscribers is higher than it's ever been, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. So find out more information at followingthetruth.com. Okay, enough of the business. Let's get right to these readings. As I always do, I'm going to look at the gospel first, and then we'll back up and let the other readings sort of supplement the gospel. And again, these are the mass readings for the fifth Sunday of Lent. We will look at John's gospel to start, John chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loses his life, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will be will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me." And I'm not finished with the gospel yet, but I just want to pause here for a minute because there's a lot happening. We have these Greeks coming to worship at the Passover feast, looking for Jesus. Philip and Andrew, two of the apostles, go to tell Jesus. And then Jesus goes into this little bit of an explanation about the fact that the time for his glorification is coming. And he's talking about his crucifixion, which is, you know, when you think about it, the act of our redemption, I have to take a sip of water, pardon. The act of our redemption came about on the cross. Highly unusual way for that to happen. But that goes to show us that God's ways are not our ways. And the way Jesus, in obedience to the Father, purchased for us the rewards of eternal life was on the cross at Calvary. And that's not the way most of us would expect it to be done. And then Jesus sort of gives us not just an explanation of what he has to do and what he will do, but really gives us some rules for how to follow him. And he says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. He's talking about the fact that through his death, the fruit of our redemption is going to be brought about. And then he points to us. And he says, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. For where I am, there will my servants be. The Father will honor who serves me. And essentially what he's telling us, you and me, and this is so appropriate for Lent, is we're called to follow Jesus. And where is he headed? He's headed to Calvary. So in a sense, he's calling us to give up our lives, not necessarily to die a martyr's death, but to live for Jesus, to put him first, to put our own needs secondary to his needs. Lord, your will be done, not my will be done. This is what he's telling us. This is what he's calling us to do. And yeah, it's a tough message. But we've talked about this before. This is where we achieve our peace, by following the Lord's will, by doing it his way and not our way. What an important message. What a difficult message. But a message that is not only going to bring us peace in this life, and this is important, but peace forever in heaven. This is the way. And he's saying, if you love your life, and what he means is, if you live solely for this world and you're looking to get all the enjoyment you can and not caring to sacrifice, Jesus is saying, good luck getting to heaven. You're going to have your heaven, your pseudo heaven on earth. And during Lent, remember, this is the fifth week of Lent. We got a couple weeks to go. During Lent, this is the time where we're called to look at those attachments, those earthly attachments which keep us away from Jesus, and do something to break free from them. What an appropriate message, or a great reminder, because by this time in Lent, we're 5 weeks in, we could be losing some momentum. It happens. And this is sort of a pep talk for us. Let's get back to the gospel. Jesus says, I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. So Jesus is essentially saying, this is my purpose. This is why I'm here, to die on the cross. And then a voice came from heaven. And of course, this is the Father speaking. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder. But others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. Now you and me, as we hear this, we look at it with 2,000 years of hindsight. At the time this was first heard, this was not easily understood. Try to put yourself into the place of those hearing this message. This radical way that Jesus would redeem us on the cross. I mean, this was not something that was very easy to accept. People struggled with this. But you and I at least can look at it with the advantage of hindsight. We know what was happening. But I think it's a great reminder for us. Don't ever convince yourself to seek comfort before seeking Jesus. And the reason I word it like that is because I don't want you to think that a life of following Jesus will mean nothing but pain and agony. That's not true. You'll be following Jesus up to the mountaintop where you'll experience peace. There'll be some valleys where you might not experience anything, or you may experience suffering. But through it all, you'll have the peace of mind if you follow Jesus that comes from a life of true discipleship. And, you know, not easy discipleship, not comfortable discipleship, but authentic discipleship, meaning you follow Jesus where he leads. And at times, he will lead you into the desert. He will lead you into the dark valley. That's part of the faith experience. He knows what each of us need in order to get close to him and make it to heaven. Our job is to follow, embrace the cross that we've been given, because they're all going to be different, and ask for his grace to help. Let's look at the first reading now, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth to the land of Egypt, for they broke my covenant, and I had to show myself their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer will they have need to teach their friends and relatives how to know the Lord. All, from least to greatest, shall know me, says the Lord, for I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. We see that reference there to what is about to happen at Calvary on Good Friday. The death of Jesus Christ, and again, I can't say it enough, it is a radical way to redeem us, to make it possible for us to be forgiven from our sins. And that's what he did. That's what he did. And I like the way this starts out. Jeremiah is saying the days are coming, written in the Old Testament before the time of Christ. But if we apply it today, to this point in time, the days are coming when that redemption is drawing near. Again, even though it happened 2,000 years ago, it took place once and for all, but we remember it as we get ready to move toward Holy Week and then onward to Calvary and followed by Easter Sunday. But we want to keep the focus on the cross at this point. We want to keep an eye on Easter so that we don't get completely bogged down in the idea of suffering and pain. Yeah, there's suffering, but the suffering Jesus went through for us, it produced really great fruit. There's an Easter Sunday on the other side of Good Friday. So, you know, we'll have plenty of time to focus on that. During Lent, we're mainly, you know, we're marching toward Calvary and we're going to stop on Good Friday. That's where our focus is right now. But, you know, in the back of our mind should be what happens beyond that. This is all going to be good. We just have to endure mentally and meditate on the idea of the Lord's suffering throughout the remainder of Lent and strive to be like him and to recognize those areas that we need to change. Maybe we're not following him. Maybe we're loving our life a little bit too much. And, you know, by loving your life, Jesus used those words in the gospel. It's a translation. It's good to love your life. I mean, the Lord wants us to love life. But what he's really saying is we don't want to make the material things of life more important than he is. We've got to focus on the spiritual and the fact that we're only here temporarily. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 51. This is a great one. Create a clean heart in me, O God. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness and the greatness of your compassion. Wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall return to you. Create a clean heart in me, O God. And essentially, you know, that's what's happening on Calvary. That redemption is taking place. And we want to make sure that we are cooperating with the grace that the Lord gives us to be able to benefit from what he did on the cross. The grace is there, but it's up to us. You know, maybe we're in a state of mortal sin. Lent is a great time to recognize that and to do something about it. And that's what we want to think about, especially as Lent draws to an end. Maybe you hadn't gotten a confession as you planned to do during Lent. And even if you don't have mortal sin, the church encourages us. The church encourages us to confess venial sins so that we can receive the grace to fight against the tendency to commit a mortal sin. So I would strongly encourage you at this point in Lent that if you haven't done anything, to maybe really step it up a little bit. You've got a few weeks left. Maybe you really didn't do anything to try to grow in holiness, to try to grow closer to Jesus during this Lent. Well, now's a good time to do it. This is sort of a call to action, a last-minute call to action. And with the Lord, last minute means nothing to him. He can handle it. And also, you know, specifically, I want to make sure that I encourage you to make it a point to get to confession, especially if it's been a long time. Lent, and one of the best things you can do during Lent is to get back to confession and allow those fruits of the redemption, those fruits won by Jesus on the cross, allow them to benefit you. So make it a point to do that. Let's look at the second reading now. It's the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. In the days when Christ Jesus was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. This is a powerful reading, kind of short, and it's sort of mysterious, little hard to digest. Jesus had to learn obedience because of what he suffered. And you know, what you have to keep in mind is Jesus was, although fully divine, he was fully human too, fully God, fully man. And essentially what he did for us was show us how we should live our life if we expect to live forever in heaven. And we're called to follow him. So unless he was able to show obedience to the Father on the cross, carrying out the Father's will, then he couldn't have set that example for us. You see, it's a little unsettling when you think of the idea of Jesus had to be obedient to his Father. It doesn't mean he was inferior to his Father. He was obedient out of love to the Father. And suffering can be a great teacher for us. Suffering is great in purifying us from the desire to pursue earthly pleasures. And understand, earthly pleasures, there's nothing inherently wrong with earthly pleasures, unless they're sinful, but they shouldn't come before the Lord. We shouldn't be seeking our pleasure in the things of the earth at the expense of a relationship with the Lord. That means some sacrifice is necessary. And as is written here, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation by virtue of what he did on the cross for all who obey him. See, that's the thing. If we expect to be saved and make it to heaven, we need to obey Jesus. And when we mess up, thank God, there's the sacrament of confession. So the redemption, our redemption is here. I mean, it's here. It's available to us. The redemption won by Jesus on Good Friday, that exists. That's not going away. That is here. So you have been redeemed. However, now it's a matter of your salvation. And that's where your cooperation comes in. Jesus did his part on the cross. And now you and I, in order to achieve our salvation, we need to be obedient to him. We need to be obedient to Jesus until we die. And when we mess up, when we're not obedient, which is called sin, then we go to confession and obtain that forgiveness and get back, get that restoration. Our relationship with him gets restored. So, great series of readings today. A reminder, I think it's perfect for getting set for Holy Week. Now remember, we have a week to go. But next Sunday, Jesus will enter Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and he's going to be prepared to die on the cross for our sake. That's why he's there. He enters victoriously. In a sense, he He exits victoriously on the cross, even though it doesn't look like it. So I'm just going to say today, get excited. Your redemption is near. Just make sure you're doing what you need to do to live for Jesus, to follow Jesus, to truly follow him. It's one thing to say I'm a Christian because I go to church. It's another thing to say I live my life for Jesus. I do what he wants me to do. I put him before my own needs. If we can say that, then we're in good shape. And we have a few weeks left during the Lenten season to work on that. Don't forget to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Don't try to do it on your own. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and help you. And the Holy Spirit will. Especially when it comes to identifying your faults. Sometimes we're pretty good at ignoring them or not noticing them because maybe we've just become so accepting of our faults. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, is there any area that I need to change? Is there any area in my life that maybe I'm not living for Jesus? Maybe I'm just living for myself. Please make that area known to me and grant me the grace to be able to break free from whatever it is that's keeping me away from Jesus. All righty. Hey, thank you so much again for listening to the program. I'm very grateful. Please remember to visit my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information about my work and to sign up for my daily email reflection. And I'm just going to ask you that if you enjoy the work that I do, if you enjoy this program, and you'd be kind enough to leave a donation at my website to help my full-time ministry move forward, I would be very grateful for that. You can do that by just going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. Please, if you could do that, it would really help me. And if you are already contributing or if you have contributed, thank you very much. I am extremely grateful. Well, until next time, I'm going to be praying for you. Please pray for me as well. Remember, get excited, because our redemption is near. God bless you. Talk to you next time.